In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So Peter and Jesus have been having some words. Jesus had been trying to explain to his disciples that he would be betrayed, condemned, and crucified by the religious leaders of their community. But this did not square at all with the disciples' expectations, and Peter admonished Jesus not to say such things. Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter wasn't quite getting with the program. Now, James and John had their own issues with Jesus. You might remember that these were the brothers who asked Jesus that in his kingdom they be seated at his right and at his left. They wanted to be second in command when Jesus was in charge. As with Peter, Jesus warned them that the thing they were asking for was not the thing they thought they were asking for. Our Lord would reign from a cross. Was that the kind of exaltation that James and John wanted for themselves? So Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up on the mountain for a mountaintop experience. They must have been so proud that they were the ones chosen from Jesus' inner circle to accompany him to go pray. So there they were, walking up the side of the mountain with their chests puffed out, hoping the other disciples could see them, because they were chosen. But as is frequently the case with a God who is bigger than any of us can imagine, the experience they got was not exactly the experience they expected. Now, when Moses and Elijah, two of Israel's greatest religious leaders ever, appeared, Peter, James, and John said to themselves, "Yes, this is more like it." This was the Messiah that they had expected. And so Peter sought to interject himself into the conversation, to build a memorial to that moment, to exercise some control now that things were going the way that he had planned. Then God shut him down. The whole mountaintop party was surrounded by a thick cloud, a traditional sign of God's presence. And out of that thick cloud, God spoke. God said, "This is my son, my beloved. Listen to him." The disciples and Jesus were alone once more, and there was silence. Now, for those of us who would follow Jesus, often the hard part is listening. There are many voices competing for our attention. There are voices that tell us that we need a nicer car, or more stylish clothes, or a more prestigious job. There are voices that constantly try to sell us products and services that they claim will make us healthier, more admired, less smelly, or more sure of ourselves. There are inner voices of shame, vulnerability, regret, and fear. And those voices urge us to act out of our pain and our anxieties rather than out of our hard-won wisdom and intelligence. There are even actual voices of parents and children, significant others and bosses, people who care about us and about whose opinions we care. For James and John, the voices ringing loudly in their hearts were the voices of ambition and power. James and John wanted to be recognized, to be honored, and to have authority. Because of those voices, James and John had a hard time hearing what Jesus was actually saying to them about the authority of one who serves. They heard the words, but they didn't hear the message. For Peter, there was the voice of unmet expectations. When Peter thought of God's salvation, he thought of a political figure. Peter thought in terms of us and them, and he was just sure that God was with us. There was no space in Peter's vision of the kingdom of God for people who weren't Jewish like him, people who didn't worship God the same way that he did, people who didn't belong to the same sect that he did. Peter, too, listened to Jesus' words, but he also failed to hear Jesus' message. So Peter, James, and John had all their own preconceptions about who Jesus, about who God was, who Jesus was, and what the kingdom of God looked like. And those preconceptions were stumbling blocks, preventing them from receiving Jesus as Jesus really was. As long as those preconceptions remained unexamined and rigidly held, they stood in the way of Peter and James and John experiencing eternal life, life with God. But Jesus wanted something better for Peter and James and John, so he took them to the mountain of the Transfiguration. That powerful manifestation of God's presence was enough to quiet the other voices for just a moment, just enough for those disciples to catch a glimpse of who Jesus really was and to hear what Jesus had to say. Now, at lunch this week, Deacon John told me about visiting Capernaum while he was in the Holy Land recently. I love Capernaum. It's one of those places that quiets my soul and leaves me awestruck in the presence of God. It's a tiny little town, even smaller than Glassboro, overlooking the Sea of Galilee. It was Jesus' home. And if you go there today, you can still walk around in the ruins of a synagogue in the very place where the synagogue was that Jesus taught in. And so in Capernaum, Jesus had lots of voices crying out to him. There were the sick, there were his disciples, there were the religious leaders, there were his well-intentioned but clueless family. Jesus was surrounded by voices, and they all wanted a piece of him. In last week's gospel, you may remember that we read about how early in the morning, before dawn, Jesus liked to get up and go find a deserted place in which to pray. Jesus heard the cries of the people, and Jesus answered with compassion. But in order to answer those cries truly and well, Jesus first had to spend some time alone, listening to his Father in heaven. Because Jesus knew that in listening to God, he would find life, and he would find freedom. In listening to God, Jesus knew freedom from all the other voices, freedom to pursue God's will in his life. In listening to God, Jesus modeled what it means to live, even now, in the kingdom of heaven. As disciples of Jesus, we are invited to follow Jesus' example. We spend time in prayer, not only telling God of our concerns, but also listening to what God might have to say in reply. As disciples of Jesus, we gather as church to encourage one another, to teach one another, and to listen together for the voice of God. We listen in the Holy Eucharist. We listen in the songs. We listen in the prayers. We listen in the greetings at the peace. We listen in the words that are spoken at coffee hour and in the parking lot. Jesus is speaking in all those places. In church, we make ourselves available to be knit into the kind of community that is able, listening together, to hear Jesus' voice and to respond faithfully to Jesus' invitation. In church, we find that we are lots of very different people, pushed up against one another, working together, learning, how to love one another and to cooperate around our common values instead of writing one another off because we differ in some details. In church, we learn to break free of the voices that would alienate us from one another and to listen instead to the one voice of the one who demonstrated solidarity with us by putting on flesh and living among us. In church, we learn to listen to Jesus. Today, I am excited to be with you here at St. Thomas. I have encountered at St. Thomas a community where, unlike James and John, people think in terms of a community as working together to get things done. I saw this at Kitchen of Hope yesterday. St. Thomas is a church that knows how to love in tangible ways. One of the special gifts of St. Thomas to me is the diversity that we embody as we gather together. Unlike Peter, who was slow to understand the breadth of God's love, St. Thomas's is a place that embraces young and old, ethnic, cultural, political, even sexual and socioeconomic diversity. We would not be St. Thomas if we all looked alike, or acted alike, or voted alike, or thought alike. We would not be who God is calling us to be. But for a people to hold on to our common belovedness of God and to recognize that that commonality outweighs all the differences, that is a special gift. That is a gift that our world around us needs desperately today. That is what the gospel looks like when it is lived out in real life. The gospel shines out through you, becoming visible to the world. That is the gospel that excites me and makes me want to be a part of this community. That is the gospel, the radical alternative that will naturally and inevitably draw others in to become a part of our community as well. Now, listening to Jesus doesn't mean that life is always going to be easy and that things are always going to go our way. Tradition suggests that James was the first apostle to be martyred and that Peter also was crucified. And likewise, the church isn't always about alleluias and feeling good. Sometimes we put the alleluias away and we observe Lenten fasts. Sometimes the process of our own transfiguration will involve getting up while it is still dark and going to some lonely place in order to pray. It is the church that prepares us and trains us and teaches us to engage in that process of transfiguration. From week to week, it is the church that holds that silence for us. Because in the end, it is the voice of Jesus that will give us freedom. Now, you and Jesus may have to have some words. But as he patiently deals with you in your passions and compulsions, you will gradually learn to hear the voice of Jesus. Jesus is calling to you, trying to help you understand that you are worthy. You are perfectly, deeply loved by God. Listen to him.